All right, so welcome to another episode of the Indigo Rising podcast. Today, I'm really excited to sit down with Michael Mills and Rodney Solomon, and they run an organization called Kids Conscious Youth Development and Service. So, if you guys, I guess whoever wants to take the lead first, just tell me a little bit about what the organization is and how you got started with that.
Birthday boy.
So organization, our mission is to prepare and create future leaders through holistic interventions. And with that holistic intervention, we focus on the body, understanding we are what we put into our body. So every ingredient in the food, whether for good or for bad, becomes the ingredient of our body. Again, whether for good or for bad. So we are what we put into this temple, and understanding the importance of a clean, well-nourished diet. You know, we bring plant-based foods into our organization, not as a plant-based organization, but as a way for youth and adults in the community to get more plants integrated into their diet. And similarly with the mind, we are what we think and what we put into our mind. So understanding we're overstimulated by everything around us, you know, the music, the TV, the video games, the social media and everything of that sort. But we have to understand whatever we're putting into our mind becomes a seed in our mind that will eventually blossom. So understanding the importance of disconnecting from the matrix and understanding connecting to the heart and understanding, because mind, if you treat it like a garden, when you plant seeds of love and compassion, that's what's going to grow. But if you constantly plant seeds of violence, hate, negativity, that's what's going to grow and manifest into your outer world. And then coming back to the soul, all three have to be in balance. You know, the soul, our emotional well-being, this is what I call the infinite superpower we all have. You know, this space right here. And by understanding throughout our years on this earth, we have endured some struggles, some pain, some tragedies and traumas. But using the tools of mindfulness, yoga, meditation, stillness to help us purify ourselves so we can shine our light throughout the world. We all have a light but it's been covered up with debris from that pain and the suffering that we are carrying with us. But releasing from the stories so we can be who we are, you know, the highest version of ourselves in this world. And we started, man.
Oh, yeah. So it was probably about 5 years ago, coming up, almost about five years of work. And then we started as a community organization first.
Okay.
Providing, we first started like doing open mic night, but it was more based on the foundation of building connection, you know, bringing people together and allowing them to have a place to express them openly, being vulnerable, and just allowing the youth, the elders, and our generation to all connect with one another and to really express. And it's blossomed over 5 years. We have one every single month for the past 5 years, and it's become into a beautiful space of just healing through the expression of the word, poetry, music, dancing, singing, rapping. And then we started doing community events because we realized that we have to get all individuals involved. So we started doing free mindful meditation sits every other week to support the inner well-being, you know, provide people spaces to heal that doesn't cost anything. It was for free. You know, we took donations, but more importantly, trying to build that bridge for them to show them. And then we started our free summer program in that summer afterwards and trying to get the youth on board and provide them with these tools at an earlier age, because we saw what it did to us later in our life. But realizing, man, what would happen if this was given to me in my early childhood, you know, my teenage years, and how I would have dealt with a lot of the obstacles and challenges we spoke about. And then from there, we got opportunities to go into different schools, and we were faced at a fork in the road, which wasn't like a fork. It felt like we knew a new path we had to take. And Brother Mike left his job first working at the food bank, and then a close friend of mine passed away. And then I decided to leave my job a few months afterward and just take this initiative on full time. And now we're full time in Asbury Park School District. We've been over about 30 schools in the past 4 years, providing wellness for educators, students, administrators, and parents in the community, and really trying to target every single layer of the community so that the change could be felt collectively, not just having a kid blossom then become shut back down again due to a lack of awareness of those around us, and really just emphasizing the ability of showing people a pathway to come back home, you know, finding that space of stillness, of awareness that even though the world may be challenging, may be heavy and weighing us down, we know that when I can learn to clear my mind, if I can learn to regulate my emotions and balance out my heart, take that weight off, something beautiful begins to sprout. And everyone has a uniqueness. Everyone here is a seed, and it's just allowing us to blossom into what that seed is destined to be. So that kind of is like a little tidbit of our organization.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's you said a lot of amazing things. And to me, that's really exciting. Just the part about just like the youth to me is such an exciting thing, because like you're saying, like I've thought about that myself. Like imagine if I knew about this, about meditation when I was in high school. Yeah. If like I had access to some of these things and just offering kids and offering, like you said, everyone in the community, and getting just, because I feel like the more you bring that connection, right, the more people realize that they have it within themselves, that it's not some other thing that it has to like change them, that it's really just them peeling off the layers and getting to the essence of who they actually are, right? And then you're empowering people to take control of their lives. And I think that that's just a really awesome thing.
The future is here.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah, for sure. And I'm just, I guess, just curious, just some of the stuff that you guys have seen, just like on your journey, and just maybe just a little bit on like what, because you gave me a nice background at how you kind of got into it and stuff, but what are you most excited about right now, like being a part, like running this organization? I know, I'm sure it's a lot of things, but what gets you guys really excited right now, being now you have a new office, which is, it's beautiful in here, and what are you excited about right now?
Well, I'm excited about impact, and I mean like impact when I see individual growth, you know, when I see that spark and I'm able to see the true potential within me, you know, not what society's told me I should be, not what my family, my environment has told me what I should be, but truly seeing that light within yourself and understanding, yeah, we operate in the physical world, but there's something much more powerful outside of this space that I can manifest and bring into this physical world, you know, and when I discover that light, you know, you see the trajectory of a life change. You know, versus I might be dabbling here in the streets, gangs and things of that sort. But when I discover my true gift in this world, the true essence of my being, it's like this doesn't even matter anymore. Yeah. And when I see youth start to begin to see that light within themselves, it's like you start to see it more and more, especially this is year 3 in Asbury Park. And it's like, at first, it's like, okay, you kind of question, like, is this really working? You see it happening, but then you start to see that exponential growth, you know, and then you start to see, okay, year 3, man, you are a different person now. You know, you could have easily went this route, but now you're going this, that route. And I think that potential, you know, because I've seen that potential in me, I can see it in the kids, and it's a reflection of me, you know, it is. And when I see that impact begin to happen, when I see kids begin to heal from the suffering and the lives that they're going through, that, for me, makes this worthwhile, and it makes it so much more impactful for me.
To piggyback on that, I would definitely say, like, the approach that have created a foundation with me is understanding the blueprints at a collective level, you know. And I met a mentor. He was like, everything's written in the stars, and what you see, it's just cycles of time moving on. And this is a time that, whether it's us or another organization that embodies this energy, I feel like it's destined to happen, you know? And my most excitement is just seeing the shift that's taking place, not just here and what we're doing, but you're looking across the country, across the globe, you're seeing more programs similar to this where the heart has to open, you know? We have to find ways to heal. So my real excitement is being able to plant a seed that helps people understand their true potential, because we have been living for so long and been conditioned to believe that this is just all the experience is. But that conversation is changing. People are becoming more open to the idea of something that is always within ourselves, and then seeing that potential within any individual, just a little slither of opening that shows them that, okay, there's more to this life than what I was told or conditioned to believe. So my biggest excitement is just beginning to support that process, but first embodying it within myself and taking myself into a space that are beyond the limits of my own understanding, but also being that reflection to show people that, yes, it's not just me. I'm not gifted. I'm not any special than you are. We all have an access to this space and potential of accessing our true essence and reflecting that, so society begins to shift in more of an order, in a balanced way, and allowing our life to really blossom to what we truly have that's been shut down through the trauma, the pain, and all the different things that society does to, I guess, make like a nice video game, a challenge, you know, because that same pressure and those same issues we see in the world, I recognize, are going to be the same things that allow us to take that next step further in recognizing that, okay, this is just to only give us that test, that crucible to evolve into that next stage of our existence. That makes sense.
Yeah. No, amazing. Yeah. Because I feel like you said something really important about how you're seeing it everywhere. And from my perspective, I feel the same way, that as far as I see, like, I see all the good in the world. Obviously, like, what we see from the media, it appears is a very different narrative going on. But if you, like, actually, the actual interactions I'm having with other human beings on a daily basis tells a very different story versus the narrative that has kind of been running. And that you were saying about the fact how it's happening. And I get that. I have the same feeling that, like, to me, it's already happened. Like, as far as I'm concerned, it's just that letting go from a higher place, that it's in motion. It's just kind of us getting aligned with the fact that it is happening and stopping and not resisting to the fact that this is something that's happening. Because, I mean, I see evidence of it everywhere. Because you can have evidence in both directions if you want. You can paint whatever story you want. But as far as the evidence and the feedback I've received in my life, it's been, I just see so much good happening. And like an organization like you guys have, so much, there's so much happening everywhere I look that, because I haven't watched TV in about 5 years. I haven't had cable. And it's just so interesting, the different narrative that I'm actually experiencing versus the narrative that's been trying to be told to us. And
We're changing script, you know, and just helping people understand they have more control over their storylines than that the ones that they're being fed. You know, because you watch the news, you're going to get depressed, you know, especially on a daily basis. It's like you're going to see the trauma, you're going to see war, you're going to see violence, you're going to see fear, you're going to see risk. You're not going to see, you know, the true essence of the world. You know, the life, the world is two sides of the same coin, you know, but you're only shown one side, you know. And it's a tragedy that we're living in a world of insecurity, you know, of fear, where people have given up, you know, their liberties, you know, to, you know, help ease that fear and become more safe. But when you look at your essence, man, nothing can take that from you, you know. And here's your power. You have the ability to create your own storyline. That news media, your community, whatever it may be, that's not your storyline. You can choose it, you know. And I think of it like as a game, you know, and the essence of us, we're the controller, you know. So who do you want to be on this earth? You can walk outside, you can be good, or you can be bad, but it's your choice, you know. But just know there's someone behind the controller.
Yeah, no, I love that. And there's something I was going to say. I feel like just like what you're reaching into, just the whole concept of that you have a choice, right? And just the concept of allowing people to understand. And because not everyone, I found that not everyone realizes how much control they actually have over their own life. Mm-hmm. And I've just noticed from a lot of, as I've let a lot of things go, and if I've let it let go of a lot of negative thought patterns, it's just crazy when you watch them, and when you let go, it's like, wow, I was creating that situation for myself for all those years. It's like I was blaming other things, but I was the one really digging the hole for myself, you know? And I think that stuff like meditation has been so powerful in my life because it really has just given me I like to say the distance from my ego and the distance from my story to actually just sit there and observe and look at it as the passive observer. And just I feel like when I see it from that perspective, it's such a different, it's such a freeing experience. And what you were saying before about when you have that connection, that all that other stuff that you were using to distract yourself, the second you get that connection, it's like, oh yeah, I don't need to be doing all these other things. This is what I wanted. All I wanted was connection. Mm-hmm. I just wanted that connection to source, to who I actually am. Mm-hmm. And when I experienced that connection, then it wasn't like I had to change anything as much as like, I just don't want to do those things anymore, right? Mm-hmm. It was like the shift that I've watched in my life is that I just don't feel like it's just not worth my time to be doing those things that were negative to my body and negative to what I was. And I'm just curious in your guys' life, like what, if there was like a point in your life, a turning point that kind of led you to start or like where you kind of shifted, because that's something that I'm curious about.
I think it was a gradual process, but like we just came back from a training called True North in 1440 Multiversity in California. And it really was helping us find a more authentic version of ourselves. And you started to see that the timeline of your life and the story that you've experienced from birth to where you're at currently is kind of like a gradual push in that direction. And we had to share a crucible, which is like a very dark time in our life. And I originally wrote in the workbook one experience, but when I got to the actual training and being around other people being vulnerable, it actually triggered me to realize that that experience was just simply a symptom of other pain bodies that I was carrying on. And I started looking at my life and started seeing all my acting out, all my trouble and my problem years that I was expressing was just me holding on to the energy of not having the parents and family that I would definitely want in that space, or not having the emotional connections to people around me. And by that residual effect, it kind of broke at a broken point in college when I went through a relationship where one of my ex-girlfriends, they cheated on me, and it shattered me. So I always pinpointed my awakening to that. But in further reflection, I realized it was just the accumulation of me keeping those same habits and patterns, but it got to a point that I could no longer hold it. And flash forward 2-3 years later, I was still lost. I was still blaming. I was still projecting my own insecurities and fears on other people. But eventually, I realized that, is this what life truly is? You know, graduating college, going home, working, playing video games, watching TV. I'm like, is this all my life is going to be? The cycle over and over again. And I just started to question more, asking what my purpose was. And then, like, I would call them strange and weird things, but I kind of recognized I was just attracting people that would help open my insight to see life from another perspective. And I always was curious, but this society, this matrix is so good at keeping you in a box, keeping you to doubt and question yourself, to divide and separate. So little by little, as I had to go through different channels. For a moment, we were in the Black Power, like, conscious group, but I realized, wow, this is still division. This is still separation. And then even being in the Love and Light Namaste group, that's still separation and division between other folks. And then being a plant-based and vegan, it's like, okay, that divides me from meat eater. So it was this constant process of evolution, which I realize is still even happening now. Because if this really is infinity, if there really is no ending and beginning, this process is a Russian doll that constantly opens up into a subtler and subtler form. But I've come to a space, though, where I recognize I can choose and be in control of how my being or soul operates within this current existence, which I think is only going to continue to evolve. So essentially, I would say it has been my whole life, but consciously around the age of like 23, 24 is when I actually started to, I say, dissolve myself into that space of awareness where I started to know more definitively who I am, you know, and how I can express that light more consciously, like you mentioned, the layers being peeled off, you know, facing my pain. And also, I realized if I want to become light, I had to become lighter. I had to let go of things that I probably still would love doing now, but it would not serve the higher nature of my being within this current path of my existence.
Before I get to you, I just want to just go back to something that I think I remembered about talking about, like, as that process, like, as you're saying, it's an accumulation process, because I felt like it was similar. For me, looking back, it's like I always kind of had that, like, thought, like, there's got to be something better, right? And then, but then you maybe you go to sleep for a few years, and then you're like, you know, I feel like there's something more, but then you go back. But it was always, like you said, that underlying, like, that drive to just want to figure out, like, what's going on and figure out how we can make this better for everybody, because it seems like, as far as I can remember, I always had the, so just a little background about me. My dad was a chiropractor. So growing up, I always had organic food and alternative medicine and all that stuff. So I always had this alternative viewpoint. I always kind of give that a lot of credit, because that helped me to question things and just not take everything at face value, mm-hmm. and just want to see the essence of things and not just. It always made me just not accept everything exactly as it was said to me. I mean, not always, I had at least more of an opportunity. But what you guys were saying before, just about the power structures and the way that they're set up now, I really feel that they're really just trying to survive. That I really think that any organism, and you can, I feel like we can look at a lot of these groups and stuff as they, I mean, they form a collective consciousness. Any group of people forms a collective kind of, like, identity for itself, and that identity wants to live on. That identity wants to thrive and survive, and it thinks it's doing what's best. And I think that as we continue to connect more with one another, that I feel like we're starting to break down a lot of those walls, and that with the media and the stuff like that, with the really negative stuff where they're only showing that to you because that's what's selling, and it's just, to me, I see it just trying to survive. Like, they know that they're going to get views that way, so it's like, if we keep running this, we can survive and beat the internet, whatever it is. It's just, they're doing it to just survive. And I feel like the more we can just, I feel like just accept that a lot of it's tapping into the hurt that a lot of people have, and what you guys are doing to actually help people to realize that, I think is so powerful. Because once you realize, oh, I'm just hurting and I have the ability to heal myself, then that no longer has the power over you that it had before. Because until you have that awareness, it's just, it is controlling you. It is kind of, you're just running the programs and you don't really have any control over it. But I feel like allowing people to see that more of their essence, I think, is just such a powerful and incredible gift to be able to allow people to realize for themselves. Cause like, yes, you're facilitating it, but when people get to see that for themselves, to me, that's what life's about for me. Just when you get to see that is such a beautiful thing.
The embodiment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the shit.
And I don't know if you wanted to share just a little bit of...
I mean, it's the same thing. Yeah, it's same the accumulation kind of, thing, yeah. of pain. And I think it was my sophomore year of college. My freshman year, I came in extremely just depressed. Family, situations, relationships, and just depressed, you know. And, you know, I found myself just in this state of just unaware of how down and depressed I was. And I was sort of going to a psychiatrist on campus, and we spent some time together, and eventually she gave me a prescription for depression, and I had this idea, I just wanted to get away,
yeah,
you know. And she said that might be a good idea, fresh start, you know. But it's like that theory, wherever you go, there you are, yeah. You know. And I ended up moving to Maryland, and I think it was a blessing, because when I was down there, I was just alone in solitude, just going through the same depression, and up getting sick, you know, and forming an illness. And I think that was just a reflection of my inner state, you know, manifesting on a physical level. And and that kind of sparked something in me to like, okay, you know, you can't sit around no more. You know, I didn't have an awareness of time after that, where time would felt like it was limited,
yeah.
You know. So I came back with a new purpose and a new grind, and to, you know, get going with life instead of just, because I always knew there's something more in life, but you just, I'll wait till next year, you know, the year after that, you know, I'll wait till I graduate, have some fun first. But when you look at time limited, it pushes you to the limits. Like, what am I going to do today if today's my last day?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I found that illness, even my crucibles at the True North leadership training, were just a manifestation of my whole childhood coming together, you know, and just different traumas. My brother, the streets, you know, family dysfunction and things happening, where it started manifesting in me on a physical level, because I was holding it for too long. I didn't have any release. You know, I was just holding on to this emotion. You know, I didn't talk about it. I just allowed it to just sink in, and it came out in forms of anger, you know, where just, you know, I'd have a quick anger switch, and just not knowing where that was coming from, it was just like, oh, okay, you had to work on this, you know, and this illness had to happen for you. Because I feel like, I was telling this to the youth the other day, we get a lot of wake-up calls, but you're not always answering the phone. I was like, man, if I would have answered it then, I would have probably gone to the business. Like, you're going to get it eventually. and that was my, and me answering the phone and reaching a higher state of mind, and then just becoming more aware of myself.
Awesome.
That was my first health conscious, where I changed my health and diet.
Because I found just talking to so many different people that while they're in a bunch of different flavors, we've all had trauma, and we've all had trauma in ways that a lot of times no one else can understand, because everyone's trauma is so unique to your specific upbringing, to your specific life, because the trauma is there for you to heal and for you to move past, to be able to understand yourself deeper, right? And to be able to just get a better understanding of who you actually are and why you're actually here. Because I've talked about this before in some other episodes, that for me, like, my traumas and the toughest parts of my life, I wouldn't trade for anything. That's made me who I am. And that's what's given me the moment in those low places, that you get a more of an appreciation when you come back up, that you get the appreciation, like you're saying, to like, I'm here. Like, how about I do something about my time here, and like use my time to the best that I can, and allow myself to really be like a vessel, right? To allow myself to allow that the divine energy to flow through me and to just get out of my own way so that I can do what I'm here to actually do.
Oh yeah. And it's like the alchemy process, or you look at any transmutation process of a coal turning into a diamond, the pearl shaping itself within the shell. And it's just seeing that you need that struggle. And I started to realize as I got older, you can either put yourself through suffering, or the universe will put you through suffering, because it's just trying to shape and mold you. So what I mean by that is, like, I even do like a CrossFit workout. You know, obviously it's not going through being homeless or starving, but it's the energy of putting yourself in a deep challenge that really pulls out some of the best stuff within you. And you look at these ancient traditions and cultures, Native Americans, they had the sweat lodge. You know, they had their different ceremonies that put people in excruciating limits, but under a controlled space. Now you look at where folks were unconscious, the universe is like, well, if you don't want to do that, hey, I got some tests and tribulations for you to kind of go through on your own and realize that some of us in the transition process, we become some of the crumble of the coal. We don't turn into the diamond. We get stuck in that space. But others who remain resilient and can endure and recognize the tools and support systems around them, it allows for them to shape and mold into that diamond of their true essence. And it's just having that understanding of that whole process will not make you look at suffering as anything negative, you know, because you have to eliminate that concept. Nothing is good or bad, you know. But when I get stuck in that belief, I'm polarized. I'm always going to be swinging back and forth. And just that program, because a lot of our choices are already made. It's whatever is deep embedded within our unconscious mind begins our reactions to become our triggers. So it's just allowing ourselves to get that upgraded program within our own being so that we can operate at a level that allows us to move in harmony with life. Or you're going to feel the resistance, but a lot of us don't have that awareness just yet to even recognize when I'm sailing in the wrong direction or I'm walking down the wrong path. And I think that is, like you mentioned in the beginning, the self-awareness that allows you to even kind of see yourself truly as you are and then begin to take that next step within this journey to get you to where you know we can all experience and be, but it's just that reconditioning process that we have to go through.
Yeah, and I think another interesting piece to all of this right now is that while, like, yes, there's a lot of people aren't really aware of this yet, and then all three of us are trying to do is to bring awareness to these things, but I have found that there's still this like energy around that people are starting to realize that the things we've been doing aren't working, right? I feel like there is a lot of just almost just apathy towards just like people have been taking certain drugs for a long time. It's not working. They've been trying these certain structures for a long time. It's not working. The education system feels different. There seems to be this understanding that maybe we have to rethink some of these things. Maybe it's not that crazy to anyone anymore. Like 10 years ago, like, meditation was kind of an out there thing, right? And now people are like, do you think you should meditate? And people are like, oh yeah, it's more of the, I just don't have time to, or I haven't tried it yet. Then like, it's a crazy idea. I feel like people are more open because so many things haven't worked that they're like, well, what? I might as well try it, right? I might as well try some of these things.
I'll say this. You probably shouldn't think to meditate. I mean, you really shouldn't. But this is a feeling exercise. Yeah. You know, we've been thinking way too long. You know, thinking has gotten us here. You know, we become overthinkers and great thinkers, you know, and it's great to have these technological advances and things of that sort, you know, sophisticated society, sure. But our heart is lagging behind.
Yeah.
You know, and I think now is the time to bring the heart to mind, you know, instead of just operating on this just the brain, you know, the brain, left brain, you know, it's just this masculine society, but now the feminine nature has to come up, you know, and the heart has to rise, you know, the moon, that is where we need to be.
For sure.
You know, we need balance, you know, we're over balanced right now, but we just need balance to feel.
That's been a big piece for me because I've always been like, that's kind of like where society is set up, the logical thinking. I need to think my way through everything. And that for meditation, for me, it was so difficult in the beginning because I was trying to think my way through it. I was trying like, how do I do this? How do I get? And it was like, even with all of my whole process of awakening and all of my spiritual growth has been this, it's finally been, like you said, that shifting into the heart. And the more I've shifted into the heart, it just is. There is no right or wrong or good or bad. It's just, it is. And when from that space, I have a lot more compassion for myself and other people. And I am a lot more gentle with myself and other people because all of a sudden it's just the different space that we're sitting in. And I think that's been a big, through all the episodes that I've done so far, the thing that keeps coming up is getting into the heart and self-love. Because, I mean, they're kind of one and the same, right? When you're in your heart, it's kind of hard to be angry and it doesn't work that way, right?
Some symptoms of a good meditation practice more so. And it's interesting though too, and kind of like seeing, like you mentioned, not just does it benefit you, it benefits other people. Yeah. And like, I don't know if you're familiar with HeartMath Institute.
Yes.
They have a lot of research in explaining the electromagnetic field from your heart space. But if you just look at the science of electromagnetism, and then you look at some of the ideas of like the law of attraction and realizing that we are all beings of energy. Every cell of our body has electricity. Our nervous system is constantly pumping that through our being. But AM and FM radio, they transmit information through the same technology of how your neurons communicate from one to the next. So when you start to see this, there is information that we're constantly sharing with other people. And that's why it's important that folks like ourselves and all individuals learn to activate that space within them. So when we walk into these rooms, without even saying a word, our presence is shifting consciousness, is uplifting people's energy, because mirror neurons, you could break it down from a scientific or energetic, we are constantly mirroring each other. And like when we work in the schools, we emphasize, these teachers don't realize, why is Johnny acting like this? Or why is so-and-so being this way? But when you watch them, you see their presence. Oh, you could tell that they're shaking inside. You know, they're traumatized, their own self. And that is affecting our youth, because they're still embodying self-regulation through the observation of the environment around them. So like when you mentioned, we have these connections, whether it be physical, unseen, energetic, that when we optimize ourselves, it's not just an individual act. That same blessing we give internally becomes a blessing for anyone that could walk into our space. And that's what we emphasize, is I could care less if you can know the whole doctrine of mindfulness, meditation, yoga. If you can't embody it, if I can't feel the presence within inside of you, that's, you're still in the mind. And the work that we're doing is, you can't put on a mask for this. You can't pretend this. You have to do the work and embody that so that you can be an expression of that wherever you go, whether I'm speaking or not saying a word within those spaces. And that's the real potential that is happening. But I think once it becomes more intellectual and understanding from that knowledge point, then it starts to create a larger shift, which is already happening, for sure. But it's like we're just the vessels that's carrying this frequency or energy into this current time and space in this moment right now.
Because I think a lot of people, a lot of people want to help. Like for me personally, for so long, I'm like, I want to go, I want to change the world. I want to help everybody. I want it. But for a long time, I wasn't aware that I had to change me first. And I think a lot of people a lot of people have these aspirations, and there's nothing, of course, that's an amazing thing to have, but you can only help people from the level of consciousness that you're operating at. And for me, for a long time, I thought myself to be at a different level of consciousness than I actually was. And I found through meditation was a humbling experience.
Good old ego.
Yeah. To really just kind of unravel that a little bit and kind of get that out of the way. And what you were saying before is that it's important, I think, that a lot of society runs by that the construct of do as I say, not as I do. Right? and that's an important piece, I think, though, because you were saying that the way that that kids, right, until 6 years old, that they're just recording everything, that it's just because you're saying nice things to the kids, if you're not embodying those principles, they're picking up on your actual energy and your actions. And like you said, us, we're doing the same thing with everyone we come in contact, that our hearts are scanning everything all the time. And it's that feedback mechanism that's continually giving us that information that, I mean, it's there to help us survive. It's there to help us thrive as a species. And I mean, and having that expanded awareness through meditation, through all these mindfulness practices, I found that as you embody it, that's what actually helps things. Because I thought it was like, great, once I let go of my stuff, then I can help everybody. What I didn't fully grasp yet was the fact that when I'm embodying who I am in my full, true essence, that automatically helps everybody. Just my actual energy and the space that I'm holding automatically helps, which is what my ego just couldn't quite understand. And all the logic, you can talk your way in all the way through a circle and have a whole plan. But for me, I found that until I embodied it, that was when things actually started to change for me.
It's true. It's true. And you mentioned something key. You know, our species, we are sophisticated. We're smart. The neocortex. And, you know, we're in our primate states, our primal states, we had instinct, emotion, and we let go. We acted and let go. But now we have this wonderful gift that's been a gift and a curse where we have emotion and we remember emotion.
Yeah.
And we remember emotion. Then we project other emotion, you know, and we just are extremely emotionally, you know, beings, you know, where, you know, animals, they're not holding on to, you know. You might get hit by a car and just keep on moving, you know. Just like, you know, you're not holding on to anything. But people hold on to pain for years, you know. And I think that's a lot of our suffering coming from. We're just holding on to so much. we don't know how to let go.
Yeah.
Let go.
And that's been a big, something I'm seeing more and more is that I think that there's been, it's kind of been taboo in our society to look at our emotions. I mean, especially as, I mean, I'll speak as a male, right? That for a long time, it's been like, we got to be tough. No crying, no, not, but like, as I've just embraced the fact that like, the only person I'm hurting is myself. By holding on to this, I think I'm being tough for everybody else, but it's, I'm the one that's going to deal with all the symptoms and the issues of this holding on to all of this anger and frustration and grief and all this stuff that I've been carrying for decades that I just had, you got to let it go. You're saying you just got to, it may have served me at some point to be strong in those moments. But, and again, a lot of it was a survival mechanism that as a kid that maybe you were in a dangerous situation and the best case scenario was for you to be tough and to stuff that down. But then now here, as we get to be 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, that if we're still holding on to those things from when we're 6, 7 years old, it's not helping.
I think it's getting the blueprints that, because some people, I've met a lot of people that want to let go or want to be free or want to get rid of those stress. And it's just being able to find proper blueprints. I've seen a lot of people who were misled or folks who thought they knew. Even when I first started teaching meditation, I thought I knew everything, but I was like, there's a lot that I do not know, you know. But there's folks who step into that role and embody, especially with social media and influencers being something that's very common within this generation. There's a lot of, snake oil in a sense, where people have true intentions to really provide a meaningful service, but essentially haven't been through the process, the testament of continuous consistency of doing the work and teaching meditation and teaching yoga and understanding how to support folks. Because there's many paths to the same destination. Some kids who are extremely traumatized, we can't do just a basic mindfulness breathing. You know, you have to understand, okay, do I breathe? Do I get them into their body? You know what I'm saying? If they are exuding, if they're starting to tremble, if they're starting to shake, okay, do I feel confident enough to even me to sit in that space to support them? Or do I have the know-how from navigating my own self to provide that support to other people? And that is like someone like Dr. Joe Dispenza. Yeah, and like probably I would say someone that brings in the science and the spirit at a much deeper level. And kind of getting them to kind of recognize how this is not something that's just spacey and airy, but also at the same time, it is something that allows us to practically step by step access the many layers of our consciousness. And as that begins to blossom and people from the medical field who have that strong intellect, but also embody that strong essence and spirit, those are going to be ones that really push the forefront of consciousness to the next stage, because I'm a very subjective person. I can speak the essence, I can speak the metaphors, I understand that's how my mind operates, but I do know operating within society and reality, that's not the language that works with people to help them cross that bridge. So as us being in this role, we work in schools, we work in communities, we don't mask our spirituality, we actually just express the essence of what that represents in a way that it's like a Trojan horse that allows us to kind of sneak in. But we talk to principals, we speak to different educators, not that Trojan horse. And you kind of see that it's folks who are sleeper cells who are really, they know this knowledge, but due to the shaming of society or speaking out to your friends, like I lost a lot of friends, but just separated due to the fact that I could no longer get sustenance off conversations that were just talking about sports, talking about video games, going to the club. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but my diet and nutrition that I needed was something that was a little bit more. And I recognized I couldn't look at them. I needed to change my dialogue so that I could form connections to all human beings and get out of my own ego and look at someone that's less than me or not as great as me, but realizing that we're all on a different path of our journey. And how can I open my awareness so that I could connect with all folks, whether it be something that's not even relevant to what we're discussing, but it still plants a seed that begins to push them a little further in the direction. And it could be 20, 30, 40 years, or who knows how many lifetimes or life they have to kind of experience to get that information, believe that.
Yeah.
You know, like these kids guys are now, what are they talking about?
No, that's fantastic, because like again, when we connected a couple weeks ago, I was talking about Joe Dispenza, because he was saying that he saw that I had been talking about Joe Dispenza, because for me growing up with this alternative stuff, I was always like, it worked for me. I had evidence in my life that, I mean, I had been doing emotional hygiene growing up, and that was something that I grew up with. But I didn't have the language I didn't know how to communicate it. It was like, I don't know what, my thoughts are affecting something. I don't know what it is. But through people like Joe Dispenza and Bruce Lipton and Rupert Sheldrake and Greg Braden and all those people, all the stuff they're doing is finally starting to show some Yeah, there's a lot of evidence. Not a little bit. Like, there's a lot of evidence. But because of the paradigm and the dogma that we're kind of locked into right now, I'll call it locked into, but a lot of people are just kind of haven't heard a different story. They haven't seen the new evidence because a lot of it has been like, well, where's the evidence? But there's tons of evidence. It's just that there's been a bit of a resistance to actually acknowledge the new evidence. And because what that will do, it changes our story. It changes the paradigm. It changes the way we operate in a society that a place of collaboration is actually more beneficial than a place of competition. And these are going back to these old Darwinian principles that no longer hold given the new evidence and quantum mechanics and all the new information that we actually, the continual like evidence that just keeps showing up from all these different scientists all over the world doing this stuff. Like you're saying that this is the language that while again, it's like we want to be in a feeling mode that we still have to operate in society and that this helps kind of communicate these ethereal principles in a way that people can understand. Tangible. And people, it's a tangible thing for sure. And I think to me, that's really exciting to me to be in that time right now and that it's like there's support to all these things that we've been experiencing that it's like we're not crazy. You know, it's all real and it's all moving forward in a more positive direction because and that's what's exciting for me being alive right now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's true. I think a part of it too, I'm often, as you're talking, I'm reflecting on the fact that we do need scientific research to show me. This feels good. You know, show me research and I'll sit down. Okay. Yeah. And we got to measure that, you know, and it has to be measurable, you know. And I think, you know, part of the state is letting go of that mind that needs to know.
Yeah.
You know, what's essential can't be known but must be felt. You know, and it's great. I love it. I love that there's science because it gets people on board. Yes, it is. But this work has to be felt, you know, and, you know, you can't play mental games with the essence, you know, because then you're just just revolving around the ego, you know. And I think there's a point where I think there's going to be, you know, some type of tipping point over to the other side, sure. You know, where people are going to understand, okay. Let's get out the mind. Yeah. Let's really stop thinking and just start feeling, you know, and get back to our essence.
I want to go back to something you just said because I feel like it's a really important point, how the mind needs to know. Because I think that this is something that has gotten in my way, but it's an important thing to come back to because I think that Sadhguru actually said something that what is wrong with saying that I don't know something? And I think that as a species, if we want to not kill it, everyone on the planet, if we want to move forward, we're going to have to accept that there are some things that we don't know. And within, as advanced as we are, we have to realize how limited our scientific and all of our technology actually is. Because if it's not helping us actually evolve, then what's the point, right? If we actually look at it from that perspective, that is this bettering the planet? Is this bettering all beings on the planet? Because if it's not, then what's the point of this technology? And what you're saying, the needing to know, that I feel like once we, it brings the humility back, right? That maybe we don't know everything, right? Because we obviously don't. And but like as we start to acknowledge that, I feel like it brings the curiosity back to science. Because something I want to bring back, we're saying with all the science that we have to remember that what is the point of science? The point of science is to help discover the mysteries of the universe, not to figure it all out so that we know everything, right? That it is originally a place of inquiry, that it was a place of how can we learn more about the cosmos and learn more about our essence and who we actually are. And it was supposed to be this never-ending journey that continually, as we grow and expand, we learn more and we evolve more as a whole, like as a species, as for the better of all. And for me, it's just, I feel like I just, on the podcast, to continue to bring attention to these things, like to the science that the point of it is to help us, right? It's not to like be like, these are the facts, and if you don't follow the facts, it's not this war and this dichotomy and this battle that we have all the time. That wasn't the point of it, you know? The point of it is to help all of humanity.
There's a great YouTube channel called Spirit Science.
Yeah.
But like,
got me started.
You're going to see the future of those who bring that yin and yang together, you know? And this is all about just becoming whole, and it can't just, because you see folks who just become too spiritual and super conscious and deep into metaphysics, but you can no longer connect with people within this world. And it's the same thing for folks who are just so deep in their intellect, so deep in the day-to-day grind, that they can't connect it with the other world. But it's like, I'm seeing, like, I just want to be the bridge, you know, yeah. And knowing that there's many sides to this existence, but recognizing how to fully integrate myself equally into that. And it oscillates. I'll go too deep into spirit, but then sometimes you get a little bit lost within this matrix of society. And it's just learning how to slowly become that steady point, that still point that comes back to the center and really help, because the millennial generation, like, you see is happening. Like, okay, it's trendy. I'm glad it's trendy and it's cool to be conscious, having your crystals, you know, going to different festivals. But at the end of the day, though, am I integrating that? You know, am I allowing myself to process it to see how I can make that tangible and realistic for what I'm doing within my day-to-day lives? And that's, I think, is going to be the next challenge, because folks are choosing to be conscious. They're letting go of religion. They're letting go of current systems that guided people for so long, which were beautiful in their time, but no longer could support us in what we're doing currently in this moment. But now it's going to be the next shift, which I look at our organization and just who we are as individuals to be an example of, okay, yeah, we're here now, but we're not here yet, you know, and how can we make this journey as less bummed? Because being lost in that space and facing trauma sometimes is more painful than it is being just in your body. So just making sure that people have the proper guidance and support to explore these spaces, because it could spur up these same issues and problems and traumas that we see even in the old paradigm of awareness.
Fantastic. No, we've gotten into a lot of good stuff. I will start to wrap it up for you guys. And I just want to, first, before we start to wrap it up, I just want to acknowledge you guys really for what you guys are doing here. Because it's to now actually sit down with you guys, and you guys are awesome. And just to really sit down and just hear what gets you guys so excited and why you're so passionate about what you're doing. And I think that the passion piece is such an important part of this work, because again, if you're not passionate about it, you're not going to go anywhere with it, right? And just being able to help the youth of today, and being able to just start to just put, just kind of redirect that sail into just a more positive direction, I think is just, it's so important right now. And I just really want to acknowledge the both of you for the work that you're doing, and that it's making an impact, obviously, and just to be able to see that feedback. And I'm sure you're going to see so much more and over the next several years, and as you guys continue along on your journey, it's just a really powerful thing to just see people living their truth and just empowering others to do the same. Because I think that's so important right now, that the more we can empower one another and make connections and having these long form conversations with as many people as possible that realize we're all the same and we all just want love and we all just want connection and we just really want to just connect with one another. And I think I want to acknowledge to both of you for the work you're doing.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Let me say one last thing, because we were talking about thinking and feeling long, and at the 1440 training with Bill George, he's the author of Discovering Your True North. He talks about his interaction with Thich Nhat Hanh. Okay. And he talks about the longest journey you'll ever take is the 18 inches from your head to your heart. You know, and I think that's something that, you know, it just continuously pops in my mind, you know, and hopefully the next time that I even speak about not thinking and feeling, I won't even have to say it with words. We'll just be here in a heart connection.
Podcast.
Yeah. Just feel the frequency. That's it. You know.
And importantly, for where can people find you?
Oh man, can I say one closing comment?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we can go back. I want to make sure.
It's kind of like a plug. And I was talking to one of our staff members today, and just like when people see this symbol, you know, this is part of the flower of life. But it's just we understand like the single cell of creation and started to bring life is. That's what we represent, and we reflect on all the staff that has worked with us, you know, all the kids, all the interns from the students, that we just want to create spaces that create just better humans, you know, and allow folks to slowly transition into just activating into a greater version of themselves and providing all those tools that make it so. Because it's a very unique time we're living in, and I'm telling folks that we have this unique gift, like going back to the heart, when the heart is really open, you know, when we're able to face vulnerability, it gives you access that you can't be lied to anymore. You know, you can say to me whatever you want to, but when you enter to the plane of feelings and emotion and access that space, that opens you up to a whole new world of possibilities and seeing things purely as they are. So anyone that's listening, which is, I'm sure, as folks that are many on this path, is just encouraging you to go deeper, you know, to really access what is the pure potential of what you can be within this existence, but the beauty of that is not, like I said before, not just for you. It's for everybody around you, and really creating spaces, podcasts, organizations, corporations, businesses that embody this energy. And that's going to support the grand scale, but it's always going to be bad. You know, there's always going to be good. That's never going to not exist. But even good and bad, they have an idea of Heru and Set. They can come together, you know, and we can learn to rule within this kingdom where that we can all have a level of balance and harmony that will support us in just being okay with where I'm at in life, not having to always worry about what other people are projecting on me or other people's opinions, but being comfortable with your true nature and your divine self. And just thank you as well too, brother, for having us out here and on this podcast. Gave me, I'm like, we're going to start a podcast, Mike, you know what I'm saying? Get a little
song. Trying to go in competition with you.
Yeah. Take your numbers, man. But overall, man, it's just good to have these dialogues and conversation and having it from a perspective that is just open, that is just purely out of love. And really, I think these are the things that are going to continue to create a ripple effect that allow these doors to penetrate even further and further, man. So I appreciate the work you're doing, brother.
Thank you. And yeah, I was going to ask you for your any last things you wanted to share.
Oh, okay.
But you already got it.
You got one more.
Yeah.
Since it's closing time. I really want to touch upon, you know, because we did this Discovering Your True North training just a couple weeks ago. And we did a staff training today, and one of the pieces of the training and of the staff training we talked about was purpose, you know, purpose in this world and just discovering your purpose, not going out making $1 million, not going out and, you know, fame, TV, but true purpose. What are you going to leave here that's going to have a ripple effect? What energy are you leaving here? And for me, you know, I'm going to speak my purpose statement because it's something within me, you know, that involves what I do, you know, and it's just to awaken infinite potential, you know, and we talked about that just a few months ago too, and actually about a year ago with Lisa at Ohana. But in order for you to achieve that purpose, it's not about an outer world experience, but an inner world experience. You know, so to awaken infinite potential, it's just about me stepping out and reaching my potential every day as it is me bringing it to you. And that's, you know, the essence of what our organization stands for. We know that this work begins with us first. You know, first and foremost, each and every day, it begins with us before we can bring it to anybody else.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thank you guys so much for sitting down. This was a blast. I'll talk to you guys again sometime.
This was great, and this is a
lot of fun. And yeah, so thank you guys so much for watching. We didn't get you.
It's all good, man. He's a great editor, so he probably cut that part out and not even notice it. But you can find us on social media. Our Instagram, KYDS_NJ. Again, that's KYDS_NJ. And also our website, conscious.org. That's conscious with a K.org. Check us out, man. Give a donation. Give us some feedback. We do a lot of community events in Asbury Park. You know, free wellness meditation sessions every first and third Monday at Dean's Natural Food Market if you're in Jersey, Monmouth County, Ocean. Every second and fourth Tuesday, we do community yoga free for individuals at Asbury Park Library. And every second Tuesday at Second Wednesday. You're going to show up. Anyone going to be there at Present Gift Shop. My brother Mike plays the sound bowls, man, has a whole collection of them. And just, we want to give access. We always said our mantra was peace shouldn't cost a thing. But we do take donations, you know, but it's realizing creating those spaces. So check us out. Open mic if you're playing this before November 23rd at Present Gift Shop. And just check us out, man. Love your feedback. And check this brother out, Luke, as well. So appreciate you, man.
I was so locked into what you guys were saying. I forgot about your plug. thank you.
One
guys.
More word. No.
But thank you guys so much. And thank you guys for watching and listening. Please like, comment, subscribe. Tell us what you thought about the episode. And until next time.
Yeah.